Take your Bible tonight to Daniel chapter 7. We've been going through the book of Daniel on Wednesday night, Daniel chapter 7. And we've seen from the book of Daniel that God is in control. And God is in control of the Gentiles. The Gentiles just mean the nations of the world that don't know God, that may not serve God. And yet the Bible says that God is in control of all the Gentiles. And in chapter 1, right on up through chapter 8, you have, through chapter 7, I'm sorry, you have that God is in control of the Gentile nations. In chapter 8 through chapter 12, you see that God is in control of His people, Israel. And so God is in control of the nations of the world, the people that don't go to church, the people that don't pay their tithe, the people that don't give to missions, the people that don't pray, the people that don't believe in Jesus. God is in control of them. But God is also in control of our lives, the people that do go to church, the people that do know the Lord, the people that do try to get people saved. God is in control of your life in a special way, and you especially know that because the world doesn't know God like we know God. We know God in a personal way because you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. But even if a person doesn't know God, even if he doesn't worship God or he doesn't serve God, God is still in control of their life, and God may allow them to have enough rope just to hang themselves. Watch out, because the thing that God lets you get away with, you need to realize that thing eventually will get you. And a lot of people misinterpret God giving them freedom to think that God is just some kind of grandfather in the sky without any teeth, and he's crippled, and he's just unable to do anything. Let me tell you something. God is a God of judgment, and God will bring judgment upon this world. And we've seen that. We've seen in Daniel chapter 1, the most powerful man in the world of his time, the ruler of Babylon. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. And he had plans for Daniel and his three friends. But God had plans. He wanted Daniel to worship his God, and he wanted Daniel to follow his plans. But Daniel didn't do it. He was just a teenager, and he did what was right. And let me tell you, if you do what's right and you do what God wants you to do, people can't control you. I remember people used to get upset at me because I used to give the tithe. And I had even relatives who say, "We're not going to give you a birthday present because we know you're going to give 10% to God, and we don't want you to do that." And I said, "Well, that's too bad, because then I won't have a birthday present, because God wants me to give 10% of whatever you give me to God." And that's the way Daniel and his three friends were, and that's the way you ought to be. Don't let the person at your school control you who's a friend that wants you to go along with them to be popular. Don't let that boy control you that wants you to let him pet you and do things to you that are filthy and wicked and wrong and will steal from your future husband. Don't you let anybody take away from you that which God wants you to do. You do what God wants you to do, because God is in control of the plans of men. God is in control of the powers of great nations. People get excited because they're in power. I'm sure Barack Obama's excited because all these crowds are following him, and they want to vote for Barack Obama. Change, change, change. Well, let me tell you what. All change is not good change. He's for abortion. Did you know that? You know what abortion is? Murdering babies. I'm not for that. Hillary Clinton is for that too, and I'm not for that either. I'm saying to you that God is in control of the powers of political parties like the Democrats and the Republicans. And God is in control of these powers that he mentions that are in Daniel chapter 2, from the time that Israel was taken captivity until the end of time. God is in control of these great powers. Hey, don't you be afraid of people in positions of power. You fear God. The worst they can do is kill you. But God can kill people and then put their body in hell forever. And I learned a long time ago, I'm going to fear God. And God is in control and sovereign. The word for control is sovereign over Gentile plans and powers and punishment. Remember that King Nebuchadnezzar? He said, "If you don't bow down and worship my image, I'm going to punish you, and I have the power to punish you." And one of the guys tell me, what was he going to do to punish them in Daniel chapter 3? Kim?
He was going to put them in the fiery furnace.
He was going to put him in a fiery furnace. And they said, you may be able to put us in that furnace and turn us into a little cinder, but we are going to obey God. And we're going to do what God wants us to do. And they wouldn't bow down to his image. And they followed God. Everybody else bowed down. But they believed in a God that was in control. They believed a God that had all power. They knew Nebuchadnezzar had great power, but they knew God had all power. And they didn't bow down. And they were thrown into the fire furnace. The men that throw them in were burned up, but they weren't burned up. And the Bible says it's better for you to obey God rather than man. It's good for a wife to submit to her husband, obey her husband. That's what the Bible says. But if her husband tells her to do something that's sin, then that draws the line, okay? You need to obey your employer, and your employer is the authority over your life. Only if your employer tells you to do something that's definitely sin and against God, then you disobey that and you do what God wants you to do, and you be prepared to take the consequences. Maybe you lose your job or whatever. But I'd rather lose my job and be right with God than keep my job if it means compromising and going against my God, because my God is the one that provides all my need. And he's sovereign over punishment that might come into our life. Daniel chapter 3. And then Daniel chapter 4, this man was getting prideful again. After he'd been humbled and seen that the Lord delivered these men, he got prideful and he began to brag about Babylon, and the Lord gave him a dream. And that dream, he saw a big tree that represented himself, and all these birds gathered in the tree, and people got shaded under the tree. And then Daniel was called in to interpret the dream, and God gave him the interpretation that this man was going to be humbled and his kingdom was going to be taken away from him, and he was going to be insane for 7 years. You know what? I deal with a lot of people that have mental problems. I think sometimes people go through mental pause, you know, and mental problems. I deal with people that have physical problems. And you know what I've determined? A lot of the people, you know, the people in our Christian school, almost every one of the workers in our Christian school has some kind of major physical problem. It's amazing that they're there. But you know what? God uses weakness in your life. And if you serve God, God will give you the ability to overcome that. Listen, we pray for healing. We're praying for healing tonight. But you better watch out. If you pray for God to heal you, then you don't serve the Lord with the health he gives you. The same God that gave you the health can take it away. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. I prayed for Joe Snow. I anointed him with oil yesterday. Went out in a snowstorm to pray for him, anoint him oil. I said, Lord, raise him up so that he can come to church and testify what you've done in his life, so that he can serve you with the rest of his life. And I'm saying to you, I've prayed for people as a pastor. I've anointed them with oil, and I've seen God raise them up. But listen to me. Make sure that you use what God gave you to serve God. Don't be like Pharaoh. As soon as God let the lice go away and the frogs go away, Pharaoh hardened his heart again, and he said, I'm not going to let Israel go. He went back on his promise to God, and sometime a great preacher will come, and he'll preach like we heard the evangelist, and you'll get your heart soft before God, and you'll make decisions, and then you don't follow through on those decisions. Watch out, because you see, don't make decisions and then not follow through. And so I'm saying that God is sovereign over pride of man. We saw that in Daniel chapter 4, and then in Daniel chapter 5, we saw that God is sovereign over, and I was almost going to forget that, there was another P there. God is sovereign over protection. And this man called Belshazzar, who had replaced Nebuchadnezzar, he thought that nobody could invade his kingdom. He was safe. Let me ask you a question. Was he safe? No, he was not safe. And I'll tell you tonight why he wasn't safe. He was not safe because he, as a young boy, he had heard the word of God. And some of you've heard the word of God all your life. He'd heard the word of God as a teenager. You say, well, what did he hear, Pastor? He'd heard about prophecy. And somebody says, oh, I've heard about Bible prophecy. I've been in a church where the pastor preaches about Bible prophecy. If you've been around Brother Bob Majeski, you hear about Bible prophecy. He's a man that teaches Bible prophecy. And we hear about Bible prophecy. And this man, Belshazzar, he heard about Bible prophecy from father in the Babylonian kingdom, not his biological father, but his predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, had heard a prophecy from Daniel. And Daniel had said that that the empire of your predecessor is going to be defeated. The Babylonians are going to be defeated. Nebuchadnezzar didn't like that, did he? He built an image, and that image represented all Babylon. It was all gold. And God said, no, only the head of the image of Daniel 2 represents Babylon. There is going to be a breast and going to be arms of silver, and that represents another kingdom that's going to defeat Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar didn't like that. And this young man was a teenager, we figure, when that prophecy was given. And he was told that another kingdom is going to take over your kingdom. And what kingdom was that? One of the guys tell me that was going to take over for the Babylonians and defeat the Babylonians and go into their capital. What was it? What kingdom was it? Tell me real quick. What's the name of the kingdom? Yes, the Persian, the Medes and the Persians. And they came in. They were represented by silver. The silver kingdom. And they came in. And this man, he heard the prophecy, but he didn't want to believe it. He didn't want to accept it. Why? Because he had walls around his city that you could ride three chariots abreast on the walls. He had a second wall after the first wall. And he had men up on top of the walls that could shoot people that tried to scale the walls. There was no way people could get into there. It would be suicide to try to attack them. He knew the Medo-Persians were attacking them. And what was he doing while the Medo-Persians were forming with their armies outside of the city? Think about what he was doing while they were doing that. He was ignoring the Word of God. Just like a lot of people today, listen to me, they ignore that God is going to deal with the abortion in America. They ignore that God is not going to put up with sodomy. He's not going to put up with queers and queer marriages. He's not going to do it. I don't hear the politicians talking about that. But I want to tell you, you want to protect America? The best way you could protect America is get somebody with enough gumption to stand up and say, sodomy is what brought down Sodom and Gomorrah. And whether you vote for me or not, I'm against it because it will bring judgment upon our nation. And you can mark it down, it will. You know what I'm reminded of in America? I'm reminded of this man, Belshazzar, who was fiddling in Babylon while the Medo-Persians were forming outside the city. He was ignoring Bible prophecy. And you know, we also are put in mind of Rome when we think about Rome. You remember Rome, what the people were doing when the barbarians were beginning to come across their borders? Why, they were rich. They were soft. They were drinking their booze. And by the way, if you're drinking your wicked booze, you're not right with God. If they had their cigarettes, they would have been smoking their cigarettes. And if you're smoking your cigarettes, you know God doesn't want you to do that. You know tonight that God wants us to be right with God, but we've got people in America that aren't doing that, and we've got people just like in Rome. What were they doing? They were going to the Colosseums, and they were thumbs up and thumbs down. They were watching the gladiators fight. And a few weeks ago, we had most of America. What were they doing? They were watching the New England Patriots at Super Bowl playing the other team there, the New York Giants. And you know what? A bunch of American midgets were watching the New York Giants win. Now, I'm not against football, but I'll tell you, on Sunday night at church, I was glad I was in church on Sunday night. I was glad I was preaching the Word of God. I came home, I saw the last minute of the game. That's about all I saw. But I saw people come to the Lord while I was preaching. I saw people going to church and hearing the Word of God and getting strengthened in the Lord and serving God. I'm saying to you that while these armies were moving on Babylon, they had no fear because, you see, they had the Euphrates River that went under the wall and brought them all the water they needed. They had, listen to this, historians say they had 20 years worth of food saved up in the city. They had all the food they wanted. Hey, in America, when's the last time we had no food? There's nobody really poor in America. You can get food, and if you can't get it, they give you food stamps. But listen to me, and listen to me well. God is in control over the protection of people. And I don't care how big our army is. I don't care how rich we are as a nation. I don't care how many jobs we have. Listen to me tonight. The best thing you can do is put God first in your life. Because if you don't put God first in your life, He can take that job away from you. He can take away from you the car that you have. He can take away from you the clothes you have. He can take it away from you. Heard about this woman. I couldn't believe it. Police officers stripped her naked and put her in jail for 5 or 6 hours with no clothes on and cuffed her. And these were men and women police officers. Abuse of power. But what I'm saying to you is, and she was a victim of a crime. She hadn't even done anything. But what I'm saying to you is, God is in control over whatever it is that you would count upon to protect you. He can take that away from you. And here's the encouraging thing. Here he was, and he was having this feast, and he was having wine, and he was having an orgy. The Bible says, with all these women were out there, he was having an orgy and doing immorality. You think that God doesn't see when teenagers get involved in sexual immorality? The Bible says whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Listen, you do not live like a whore or a whoremonger. You, when you're saved, you're a child of God, and your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But this culture that they were living in, they didn't understand that, and this American culture is perverting people. And by the way, how can you stay pure when you watch the wicked stuff on TV that people watch? How can you stay pure when you look at the pictures and watch the internet? How can you stay pure? And they were impure, and they were ungodly, and they were taking the golden vessels that had been taken out of God's temple, and they were drinking booze in that. And he was thumbing his fist in God's face, saying, basically, I'm not afraid. I got protection. I've got my army. I've got my walls. I've got my wealth. I'm protected! I don't care about what the Bible prophecy says. And you know what? That's what I believe is happening in America. And everybody's getting excited about the election. And we're going to have a new president. And we're going to make all these promises. And all these good things are going to happen. You mark it down. You mark it down. It may be great in 08. But I am telling you, very soon, the other foot is going to fall. And it's going to be God. And it's going to hit America. And you say, Pastor, how do you feel about that? I'm not happy about that. But you know what? Sometimes it's more important that we be holy than that we be happy. Sometimes you need to be holy instead of just being happy. And listen, when this happened and the judgment fell, and by the way, what they did was the armies of the Medo-Persians, we've already studied this, but the armies of the Medo-Persians, they dammed up the Euphrates River. It dried up the riverbed. It was still wet and soggy, but it dried it up enough that they could march the armies of the Medes and the Persians right under the walls of Babylon. Do you know what? America is a lot like Babylon. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? You know what? We just conquered Babylon. We just conquered Iraq. And we are pouring our money in there and our wealth in there. And the Bible says that that's going to be the Europeans and the Americans. That's going to be the new capital of the world eventually. All the wealth is going to center there in the last day. And America's invested in there. And we're kind of like the new Babylon. And the armies of the Medes and Persians march right on their walls. Hey, by the way, there is a Persian right now that's a little big man by the name of Ahmadinejad of Persia, which is today Iran. And he has plans to hurt America. Some people have testified before Congress that they already have gotten, not only the Iranians, but others have gotten suitcase nuclear bombs and brought them into America that they could blow up an entire American city. And listen to me, I believe the day will come when you will hear of an entire American city being blown up by a suitcase nuclear bomb or more. I am saying to you tonight that we need to wake up, that God is sovereign over Gentile protection. And you say, Pastor, that's not very encouraging. Well, wait a minute. How about Daniel? He was now an old man. He was no longer a teenager. And when this happened, when the Medo-Persians marched their armies in, they killed Belshazzar. The handwriting came on the wall when he had his party and wrote on the wall. And the armies came in and they killed Belshazzar, just like Daniel said would happen. And Daniel said, the days of your kingdom are numbered and they're over. But what happened to Daniel? When the new people came in, the Medo-Persians came in, he was still exalted to be the head person in government. And God caused him to be there even though the protection was not there. He had God's protection on his life. And let me tell you, if you walk with God, listen to me, you will have God's protection on your life. No matter what happens, you don't have to be afraid of anybody or anything. And if he lets you die, well, hey, you're with the Lord. That's his plan. God is sovereign over Gentile protections. And God is sovereign, as we see, over Gentile politics. Because we saw that when Daniel came to power, the other three presidents that were under him, and he was over them, he was the highest of the three presidents, and he was answerable to the king only of Babylon, who was a man named Darius the Mede, and Daniel was in a place of power, and they were envious of him and they were jealous of him, and they got a law passed against his praying. Do you think the devil wants to make prayer illegal? I think so. I'm glad you came here tonight to pray. I'm glad that you pray. I hope you pray every day. Daniel prayed three times every day, morning, noon, and night. When's the last time you didn't eat? Listen to me. I'm talking to you tonight. When's the last time you didn't eat breakfast, lunch, and supper? You just drank liquids and you prayed instead of eating. When's the last time you did that? Don't answer me out loud. But think about it. Jesus said that when I leave, my people will pray and they will fast. You say, Pastor, why should I go without food? Because you want to get your prayers answered. You want to lay hold of God. He that cometh to God must believe he is. He's rewarded them that diligently seek him. And Daniel prayed. And they made a law against praying because they wanted to get him in trouble. And they wanted to get him in trouble because they wanted to get him to lose his job, because they wanted his position. They envied him. But Daniel kept praying. And what happened to Daniel? Where was he put? One of the guys. Where was he put? Brother Kim. Well, that was the other guys. Where was Daniel put? You already mentioned that. That was in Daniel 3. Now we're up to Daniel chapter 6. We're in the last chapter behind the one we're looking at. Where was Daniel put? Bobby? Yeah, I knew you knew. See, these guys sit there and they don't talk. They say a woman talks twice as much as a man in one day. Did you know that? But God says that the women are to keep silent in the church. The men are to speak. Isn't that interesting? Put them in a lion's den. And God shut the mouths of those lions. He shut their mouths. And he said, well, they probably weren't hungry. All night they didn't eat Daniel. No. The next day, the king put in the lion's den those men and their wives and their families. Why'd they kill the whole family? Because they would not be able to plot against the king. That's the way they did it back in those days. They killed them all. And the lions, listen to me, the lions, before they hit the ground, ate them while they were still in the air, and their bones were crunched while they were in the air. God is sovereign, listen to me, over Gentile politics. These guys tried to get Daniel out of power through politicking. And we don't have to worry about politics. We follow the Lord. Hey, don't you get into politics. Don't you get into somebody comes up to you and gossips about somebody in authority, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the church, whether it's on the job. Don't you let somebody come up to you and start talking. Oh, we got to pray for this leader. Say, hey, don't share that stuff with me. I don't need to hear that. I don't need to hear that. I'll pray for him. I don't want to hear your garbage. I don't want to hear your garbage. I don't need it. You want somebody to take their garbage and dump it on your lawn? You want somebody to come in your house and dump their garbage? That's what happens when you listen to gossip. And it works, and people hear that stuff, and then they begin to get together, and they begin to fight against God, and they begin to fight against God's authority, and that's not good. I like what the evangelist said. If you don't like what the president's doing, pray for him. Don't like what the preacher's doing, pray for him, that God would change him or change me. I'm saying, don't like what your parents doing, pray for your parent, that God would change them or change you. But respect and honor them. God is sovereign over all these things. And we're going to see in the future how God is sovereign over Gentile prophecy and the prophecy of the end. We're not going to do that tonight, but I just want to introduce this to you tonight, that in Daniel chapter 2, the image that represented the powers that were going to control Israel until Jesus came back were represented as an image. And there were the Babylonians, and then the Medo-Persians were the silver part of the image. And then there was the brass part with the thighs and the belly that was represented by the Grecian Empire. And then the legs represented by iron and clay mixed with iron. And that was the Roman Empire, and which is being revived in our day and is going to be crushed by the Lord when He comes back. But it's represented as an image. And that image, listen to me, represents how man looks at the kingdoms of this world. Man looks at the kingdoms of this world as something like a beautiful image. It's beautiful. It's big. It's beautiful. Remember Jesus? Remember when Satan tempted Him? He showed Him from a high mountain all the kingdoms of the world. He showed Him the power of the world. He showed Him all the possessions of the world. He said, you can be popular, Jesus, if you just worship Me. He said, I have now the power to give this world to you. Do you know the devil tempts you like that today? You say, what are you talking about, preacher? He uses the world to get you to put the world first before God. What are you talking about? Money, popularity, wanting to be popular. He uses the world to try to get you to put it before God, to have certain power in your life. He tries to get you to follow the world. And you remember what Jesus said to him? He said, no, I'm going to worship the Father. I'm not going to bow down to worship you. God said only to worship Him. And Jesus knew that God was going to judge this world, and He was going to destroy this world. And so He would not follow it, because Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7 that we're going to be studying says that the kingdom of God is coming to this earth, and the kingdom of God is going to crush the image of man, which represents how wonderful and how beautiful the world looks. Listen, don't be deceived by this world, because Daniel chapter 2 shows the world is a beautiful image, golden and brass and silver and this beautiful image. But wait a minute. Daniel chapter 7 shows these same kingdoms, these same four kingdoms of the world, and it presents them as wild beasts. The Babylonian Empire is presented like a lion. The Persian Empire is like a bear. The Medo-Persian Empire is like a panther or a leopard. And the Roman Empire is like this nondescript, ugly beast with iron teeth. I remember one time driving my kids to school. They went out to North Pocono Christian School. My daughter Mindy went out there, and I used to drive her friends and her out there. And I remember going 380 East as I was driving them to school. I would do that, you know, each day. And I remember seeing a poor deer that got hit by a car, and the deer was in the median between the two highways. And the deer is just like trying to struggle to get up, but it just couldn't get up. It was too badly wounded. And the thing that really struck me is that here, right next to the deer, was buzzards or birds that looked like birds of prey. And you know what they were doing? They were waiting for the deer to die so they could pick its bones. I've seen that in the world. I've seen people in nursing homes. Nobody cares for them. We went and sang in a nursing home over Christmas and brought the cheer and the gospel of Christ in there. But who cares? Who visits the fatherless and the widow in their affliction? When's the last time you helped a widow out? She couldn't do something. Maybe you shoveled her walk or did something for her. Visit a person that their family doesn't even care about them.
You see, the world, look at the news media. They're like a bunch of vultures. They went after Lady Diana Spencer, Princess Di, and she was in sin and messed up. But look, they just hounded her to her death. And they hound Britney Spears to her death. She's messed up. She's in sin. They'll hound her to her death, too.
They don't care. They don't love you. The world's like a beast. It just wants to tear you up. Don't love the world. Love the Father. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father's not him. God will never forsake you. He'll not pick your bones dry. God loves you. God cares for you. God is a God that blesses us. Why put the world above God, you see?
The Babylonian, like a lion. The Medo-Persian was slower, like a lumbering bear. And the bear had in its mouth three ribs, I guess, representing three kingdoms that it had conquered. There was a atheist, by the way, that was chased by a bear. And the atheist was running away from the bear. And the bear kept getting closer. He kept running faster, and the bear just kept getting closer. And finally, the atheist just fell on the ground. And he couldn't go any further. And just as the bear was about to overtake him, and he cried out, "Oh, dear God." And just then everything stopped. The bear stopped and everything around him stopped. And the atheist saw light, and then he heard a voice from heaven saying, "You know, all your life you have denied me. All your life you have gone against me. All your life you've taught people that I don't exist, and you've never prayed to me before. Now you're in trouble, and you're going to pray to me?" And the atheist thought, and he said, "I suppose you're right. That would be hypocritical for me to pray to you." He said, "But could I ask you this?" He said, could I pray for the bear, that you'll make the bear a Christian?" And just then everything stopped, and then it started into action again. And the bear bowed his head, he folded his paws, and he said, "Thank you, Lord, for this food that I'm about to receive." That's the way this world is. We need to be real Christians, don't we? And follow the Lord. May God help us to do that. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. God is in control. Listen to me. God is in control. He's in control over the atheist. He's in control over the government. He's in control over your friends and those that are popular. But the most important thing is that that's against their will. But the most important thing is, are you yielded to God? Have you yielded to God your entertainment, what you're watching on your TV? Have you yielded to God the cigarettes and thrown them out? Have you yielded to God the booze? Have you got the sin out of your life? And how about your purity with the opposite sex in the things that you look at, and the things that you think about, the things that you say? Have you yielded your mouth to God? How about your temper? You can't be flying off and losing your temper all the time and say that you're controlled by God. No, God wants us to yield to Him because He's in control of everything. God wants you to put Him first in your life and to walk with Him. And what a blessing that is to do that day after day. I wonder who will say to me, "Preacher, there's some things in my life that have hindered me from being fully yielded to God. But I want to yield my life to God. And I want to be a Spirit-filled Christian. I don't want to be a Christian that's worldly and that loves the world. I want to love the Lord. And I haven't been as I ought. And there's some things I need to lay on the altar. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your right hand up tonight? Hold it up high. Let me see it all over this place. Amen. 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 God has spoken to my heart. And I want to be Spirit-filled. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. That's what we need tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for the wonderful truth that You're in control. And Lord, that we don't have to fear them that have the power over the body. We have to just fear You and love You and trust You. And Father, I pray in this church that we would not love the world, that we would love you, that we would be filled with the Spirit. I pray for these tonight, that if there's anything that's hindering them from being filled with your Spirit, Lord, that you would cause them to get rid of that and to draw near to you. And Lord, that you would fill us, and so that we would walk close to you, because we know you never fail us, you never forsake us. You're not like the world, Lord, which is a hollow, empty image. And it's a ferocious beast that wants to destroy us. But you love us, and we thank you. You sent your Son for us, Lord. And we know that your kingdom is coming. Your will is going to be done after you've judged this earth. And Jesus is going to reign. And Lord, help us to get ready for his coming and to have rewards when he comes back. We pray in his name. Amen.